Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise.
Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and Speak Boise at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard.
Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208 Imprint. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Hi.
How the hell are you?
I have a podcast. Do you have a podcast?
I guess. Maybe.
It's been a minute.
It's been so many minutes.
It's been a hot girl summer.
It's been a busy ass summer for both of us.
Yes.
Holy moly.
So we apologize, people. We know you missed us.
Duh.
But we're here.
All of our listeners did.
One of us is queer.
We're here. One of us is queer. Guess who? We're not going to talk about work because fuck it. And we're going to go straight into it. So, ladies, gays, theys, we are doing a two-part episode of Black Widow. Mm-hmm. But first, before we get into Black Widow, we want to tell you what we've been watching, and we have some things we need to discuss in the realm of television and film.
Can I mention something first?
Do it.
An observation I made about you.
What?
You pee like a man.
Do I?
In the sense of like you pee so fast. I think most human beings I've known take, you know, like a solid like 5 minutes to pee. You are like, I don't know if you have a pee cup or something, but you are a shiwi. You are in and out of there, and I love it.
It's just like going to the bathroom is such a waste of my time.
Except for pooping.
Well, no, that's not a waste of time.
That's heaven.
It's me time.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's only me time I get right now. But peeing is like, because I have to do it so often, because
you
I have a bladder the size
bladder.
Of a pea,
yes,
like,
do.
No pun intended, like, it's just like in and out. We have things to do. We know we're going to be back in 37 minutes, so like in and out. But thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
And I also apologize to people if you hear me drinking. I am starving.
He's eating his Panera. Would it really be an episode if you were
eating with my big? My
honestly, big honestly,
I have a full spread in front of me, people. Condiments and all.
Chips, soup, Sammy.
I was like,
and a big ass.
We're back
drink.
At it. We
we're
haven't had lunch.
At it.
We haven't had lunch this week, and so I was like, you can watch me eat.
I love watching you eat.
Okay, ask your questions.
Okay, what have you been watching?
Oh, what I've been watching. So I have been watching. America's Next Top Model. I kind of finished that one up. The Selena series on Netflix.
Oh, sure. Is it good?
It's not great.
Okay. Who plays Selena?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's not bad.
So it's
I
that
love
good.
Selena, but like the actress who, she's a good actress, but like bad choices. Bad. She's not the right choice.
I'm going to look it up while you're still talking.
And then I watch the Amanda, it's not Seinfeld is her last name, is it?
Seyfried.
Whoa, I screwed that one up. We're back.
The gal from Mamma Mia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a new show, and I can't remember the name of it. It's not new. It's new-ish. It's on Netflix, and it's called Things Heard and Not Seen. It's on Netflix, released this year. It is by far the worst movie I have. I was gobsmacked how terrible that movie is.
Say, what's the title again?
Things Heard and Seen.
Bad.
Horrendous, Aaron. Like,
wow.
I attempted to make you watch it just so we could like laugh at how bad it was, but the eye was just like, and I watched the whole thing.
What's the genre?
It's like a horror ghost story.
Wow, if you hate it,
ugh,
I can't imagine how bad it is.
It was bad.
Okay, so the actress that plays Selena is Christian
Serratos.
She was in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And then she was on the Nickelodeon series Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
Okay, I don't know.
And she was in Twilight.
What?
As Angela Weber. I've not
nerdy friend.
I've not seen. No, that's not her friend. Actually, I haven't seen the movies, so I shouldn't say.
I rewatched it all.
Angela Weber. Regardless, she's not a good Selena, is what you're telling me.
Beautiful, but not the right person. Yeah, gotcha. That's the other thing. I rewatched all of Twilight. So fucking ridiculous.
The cinematography.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, there's some.
No, it's not shot
There's some awesome shit.
It's shot with like
there.
A fucking handy cam.
There's like the gray tone. There's some awesome shit in that. But like the rest of them, my God. And then when they're fighting these big ass wolves.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
I have no interest in watching them again.
I love it.
I know you do.
Back to you.
Okay. What have I been watching? Seth Allen and I, Seth Erskope and I have been we finished the Paul McCartney, Rick Rubin series on Hulu.
Yeah.
Very good. Beautifully shot. It was black and white. And it's kind of this panorama. Like they kind of just like shot in a circle around them. It's not like constantly moving, but it's shot in so many different angles. It's so cool. And just to see Paul McCartney, like, remember all of these things from decades and decades and decades ago. Like, it's so cool because they're talking so specifically about like notes and music theory. And like, it's not just about like, oh yeah, we had a great time when we were in Liverpool.
We were high. Hold on, let me press.
You know,
we were high on acid when I wrote this song with the Beatles. Michael Jackson was awesome.
But their influences are Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Right. Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Like, and so he talks a lot about that. And so it was a really cool series. It was like 6 episodes. Each episode's like 22 minutes. So it was really nice. I started the Mindy Project. I think it's really funny because Chris Messina is the hottest person on.
Which one is he?
But he's Danny Castellano.
Oh, you would.
Like I love a stocky Italian dark haired man.
Yorker.
I do love a New Yorker. Jersey. I do.
Oof, okay.
And then
it gets bad. I'll just say that.
Well, thanks. I'm still going to watch it. Seth and I started Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, interesting.
Like it a lot.
Mm.
He thinks my commentary on it is really funny because I obviously am like, oh my gosh, they're being so unreasonable. And he's like, Aaron, it's a motorcycle club, so that's not
just talk it out.
Just let's have some conflict resolution, you guys.
Where's the mediator in this situation?
There's a lot of racial slurs, so that definitely rubs me the wrong way.
I mean, that's FX back in the day before they got like really...
Because they were like...
Ryan Murphy came on this scene. No, where Ryan Murphy was on Nit Tuck, so...
I know.
That's before he got, you know, PC.
Because they say like racial slurs, and I'm sure Fox is thinking like, oh my God, we're so edgy. And it's like,
Fox back in the day, between Nip Tuck, that show, and there was another one, they thought they were badass. Like, we're prime
authentic.
Yeah.
We're being authentic.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, okay, if you say so.
Dumb, yeah.
If you say so. We watched the movie Argo.
Argo.
Argo is about the Iran hostage crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Directed and starring Ben Affleck, which we will talk about in a hot mini.
Yeah.
It was good. But I forgot how, like, my heart was racing. Like, from the minute until they get on that plane and they're out of Iranian airspace. Like, that... Sorry, I'm fixing the microphone.
Oh my gosh.
Blah, blah. It's just like, holy shit, holy... Like, it's just kind of like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. So, it wasn't, like, good for my anxiety, but it's a great movie. And I'd only seen it once before, so
I've
I was really...
I've never seen it, but I don't like those kind of movies.
I know, you don't. I wish you did, because it was a really
well-done
movie. I gotta stop touching this microphone. It wasn't war. I mean, it wasn't war. It was just a really crazy situation.
Okay.
I don't know. I think you should give it a shot, honestly.
Nope.
And let me see. What else have I been watching? Oh, and then I obviously watched Black Widow, which we will talk about. And I saw it in theaters, but I will save that.
Oh, I want to hear that perspective.
I shall tell you. Now there's been a lot of things that have happened in the world of pop culture.
In Hollywood.
And I want to tell you that I recently, I think I donated to a charity. And then they were like, do you want to get, like, you can pick up to 4 magazines. It was like this coupon thing. It's like, pick up to 4 magazines for like $2 a year. And I was like, okay. And then one of them's Variety.
Ooh.
So I feel like a real Hollywood person reading Variety.
You can give us like the hot
I will. I'll just bring it with me.
Yeah.
I know.
I'll do that. So we do have some hot topics to talk about. Before we get into kind of controversies, there's two television shows, or no, one's a movie, one's a television show that we are, wait, isn't House of Gucci? Is that a?
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's a movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you talk about that one and I will talk about the other one.
House of Gucci starring Jared Leto.
Adam Driver. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gagao.
And
it's directed by Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott?
I think it is a Ridley Scott film.
And then it also has Al Pacino in it. No.
Why'd you take it back so fast?
No, I don't think it's Al Pacino.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know. One of your Italiano boys. I don't know. I can't remember, dude. But anyway, it tells the story of, oh God, now I can't remember her name and it's going to screw me up.
I got it up for you, babe.
But it tells the famous tale of the wife of...
It is Al Pacino.
Oh, it is Al Pacino.
Patrizia. Patrizia?
Yeah, Patrizia.
That's Lady Gaga.
Yeah, her character Gucci.
Yeah.
And it talks about that during the 1980s, kind of controversy that was going on with Gucci, and then ultimately the assassination attempt of her husband. I am fascinated by this movie. It makes me excited because I can tell I'm either going to really enjoy it or I'm really going to hate it. And I don't know
you
which
gotta
one
You got to keep
yet.
An open mind.
I have to keep an open mind. I personally, and I really want to focus, of course, on Lady Gaga. I don't think Lady Gaga is a great actress.
You felt that way about A Star Is Born.
And I thought she was terrible in that movie.
You did think so.
She wasn't terrible. I feel like she has all the right parts. I just don't feel like she is prepared. There's something missing. There's some je ne sais quoi. And I think our special guest who will be here any minute.
Momentary.
And I had a good conversation about the fact that she tends to, I don't want to use the word, he didn't use the word overact. She overcommits. Like the character isn't grounded. And it's very much about, I mean, that's Lady Gaga. She's a pop star. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so everything's a little bit extra.
Right.
And so the character is a little too formulaic.
It's not believable.
It's not believable.
I don't get,
and she has all the right.
Right.
The accent's going to be right. The look's going to be right.
Of course it is.
Everything, the accent's going to be, but she's so committed, but she's a little
too much.
Too much. You know what I mean? Whereas a Meryl Streep.
It's authentic but not realistic. Is that
it's realistic in the sense it feels human. It doesn't feel like, and this is an actor acting. Like,
oh,
I'm an actress and I like
I'm an artist.
I'm an
she's
artist.
An artist.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not trying to she's trying to create these kind of imagery instead of creating an actual human being.
Okay.
You know, almost like as a singer, I think she looks at her performance as like, what does the audience see? And like, I want some more internalization happening.
Well, she's so committed to her audience.
Yeah.
She's so committed to her fans, her monsters.
Her monsters.
Does she still call them that?
Yeah. Okay. Jared Leto is a method actor, so he's either going to do really well.
I fucking love Jared Leto.
He's going to do something creepy. He's either really good or he'd make some really
I think he's
wackadoodle great. Choices.
And Adam Driver, I adore. I adore him.
He's great. I don't get it. I don't get the hype, but. Well, okay, so what's yours?
Mine is American Crime Story.
Oh, what are they doing now?
The Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And what's
and
your name?
And our girl, Beanie Feldstein.
Have they released a trailer?
They sure did.
Oh, shit. I saw it on Instagram
last night, and Seth is like, what are you watching? So Beanie Feldstein is Monica Lewinsky. Amazing choice. Monica Lewinsky is from my home state of Oregon. She went to Lewis Clark College in Portland.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Big time.
She was like an East Coast girl.
Oh, heck no. And so the trailer came out. Clive Owen is playing President Bill Clinton. Very interesting. I'm really excited. So as a recap, the first American Crime Story season, this is very much a Ryan Murphy thing. You see all the major players. You always see Sarah Paulson. The first story was the O.J. Simpson trial, and Cuba Gooding Jr. played O.J. Simpson. I thought that was great.
That one
was really good. The second season of American Crime Story was about, oh my gosh.
Gianni Versace.
Thank you. It was the assassination of Gianni Versace, which starred Darren Criss, who we all know as a warbler from Glee. maybe some other things, but that's how I know him. Beautiful voice that guy has. So the assassination of Gianni Versace. And now the third season is coming out soon. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, that one should be good.
I'm really excited about that.
You're interested? I'll watch it. I'll give it a
I'll give
it a view.
Now we're going to talk about your hot topic.
What is Matt Damon?
Yes.
Oh, God.
But hey, I'm going to push back a little bit. Just be prepared.
Okay. I think you're gonna be intrigued by what I'm gonna say.
But you have to lay it down. The issue?
So
here?
Matt Damon, as we know, Mr. Bourne.
Yes.
Who's
my favorite actor?
I don't know
all time.
I haven't read the actual article.
Yeah.
Or why he was being interviewed, but he kind of talked about him as a father, right?
Well, he was really talking about the use of the F word as a slur for gay people.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable saying it.
I don't understand what the context was.
The context was his daughter couldn't believe that there was a time where that was thrown around carelessly.
Yes.
Because Matt Damon was growing up in Boston. We said that as kids, as you would call, even in high school, you're like, oh, yeah, you're so gay, like that kind of thing, or calling people the R word. Right.
Right.
And so he was kind of saying it as like, yeah, this used to be really common. And his daughter was saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe there was a time, because she's not of that generation. Right. She's of a Gen Z generation of like, I can't believe people would just like carelessly say that.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was the context of
but
that situation.
But I got from the internet that he like continuously still says this to this day. Like, she made him make a contract to say, you won't say this word anymore, because he says it currently, in his vernacular currently.
So, and then his comment back to that was like, this is not an awakening for me. I know this word is wrong. I do not use it against people. I thought it was in the context of using it in a film.
Yeah, she said,
in his most recent film.
But he said it as like, oh yeah, and I've said it in my film. And she's like, from the vibe that I got from what people from discussions have had, it was like, he still says this word, not like at a person, but he just says the word still to this day.
And the
question is not, we can skip that. My issue is like, well, number one, why is it still in your vocabulary?
Right.
But it's more of this like feeling of like, why are you, do you get the right to brag or to have notoriety that you stop saying the word? Like, that word should never have been used in your vocabulary.
I think what happened is he was sharing a conversation with his daughter as a dinner table conversation, and it got snatched up, and we're gonna fucking.
But he's the one that popped it up. Like, he started he engaged her in number one. And the fact that his daughter forced him to make a treaty or a contract tells me it was something deeper than just like, oh, well, I've said it in
the movie. I don't think anyone's forcing him not to say it. I think the context was, my daughter and I were having a conversation about generational slang and language, and she couldn't believe that this was used so freely.
I'm going to have to reread
it.
We're going to have to come back to this, because
I
feel like you're wrong.
But I really don't think it was such a small part of the conversation in the interview. That's the thing.
But I think people...
So, and why I say that is, I don't think he's making this interview about that.
No, he didn't. But the mention of it, I feel like people were like, why are you mentioning it in this kind of context?
I think we both need to read the article again and come back to
it.
We're
going
to
come back to it.
Because this is a lot of speculation.
I would say next week, but.
Oh, who fucking knows?
Who knows? Next year.
We'll try. see us again
Matt
in 2022.
Matt Damon, you're on trial next week.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk about Matt Damon's best friend, Ben Affleck.
Oh God, what's going on with him?
He's back with J-Lo.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So we all know, man, J-Lo was engaged to Alex Rodriguez, and it was like, cool, cool, cool. They had like a mixed family. Like, she was like very into his kids. And when I say, yeah, and like, they all did stuff, right? Like, they like intermixed their children, and were just very like, we're a big family, and we're engaged. And then all of a sudden they like broke up kind of suddenly. And so then Ben Affleck was dating Ana de Armas, who's from Knives Out.
Yes.
Right? One of our movies that we love.
Yes, we need a review.
And yes, we do. And they broke up, and then J-Lo and Ben are back together.
Yeah. And for me, I don't like it. I don't like J-Lo, to be completely honest.
I know we've talked about that before.
And the fact that they're dating again, I'm just like, God, what a waste.
Did you ever see the movie that they did together?
Gigolo? Not Gigolo. What's the name of that movie?
Gigli. I don't know how to pronounce it. G-I-G-L-I. How do you say that?
G-I-G-L-I.
Gigolo.
Gigolo. Gummy bears.
Regardless, it was crap.
Yeah, it was
right?
A crap
That's all
movie.
We really need to know.
It was a bad movie. I just think it's, I think she likes to bounce around men. And listen, as a woman, she's allowed to date and fucking suck whoever she wants to. But
But Ben Affleck he's a toxic fuckboy.
Yeah, that's
who
the
I
thing.
Would climb like a tree if I had the opportunity.
Absolutely. That phoenix back tattoo, I want that all
it's
over me.
It's a tiger.
It's a phoenix.
It's a tiger.
It's a phoenix. Listen. This one I know for sure. It's a fucking phoenix.
I'm going to Google it right this minute.
It's a phoenix.
Regardless, dark hair, tall, broad shoulder.
Italian background.
Affleck? Just because he's from Boston. No, he's Irish. Just because he's from
Irish.
Boston
like
doesn't
too.
Mean.
You like
I love that shit.
You like anything that has potential for gangster movies. And he looks like he's from a gangster movie.
Yeah. Have you seen The Town?
God, no.
God, would you get with the culture a little bit? Get with my shitty crime loving culture.
Well, but I don't know. We should probably transition.
Let me look at the notes I had. The only other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Cannes Film Festival. Spike Lee made a whoops.
Oh, what did he do?
And he announced the winner of the Palme d'Or winner, which I think is like the top film. Too soon.
Oh no.
He was like, surprise. And everyone was like, oh my God. And so, the winner was Julia Ducournau, I think is how you say your name. And she is the second female director to ever win this award. So it's very exciting, which I wanted to bring it up in the podcast because let's hear it for the girls. Right. But she won for this film that she did called Titane. This is the tagline of the film. And I want to know if you would watch it because I know you fucking would. Titan is a 2021 body horror thriller film written and directed by Julia Ducournau. It stars Agathe Roussel as a woman who becomes pregnant after having sex with a car.
I love it.
The BBC called it the most shocking film of 2021.
I love it. It's like
you're
going to
watch it, aren't you? Oh, Christ.
Dark Side of the Moon.
I look at that and I'm like, pass. It's too weird for me, man.
No, that's going to be good.
She has like a plate in her head. I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. Well, okay, if you want to review that in a minute, but we're going to transition and welcome our guest.
Hi.
Hi, Josh.
Hello. Josh.
This is our first guest on the Let's Hear It for the Girls podcast. And Josh, what we're doing today is a two-part episode of The Black Widow.
Okay.
Right? And so we wanted to catch up because it's been a really long time since Colin and I recorded. But you are our inaugural guest.
Thank you for having me. This is such
Thank
an honor.
You. Josh, what have you been watching?
Oh, gosh. Black Widow.
Love
again.
It.
Okay. What else have I been watching?
Come on, Josh.
I know.
TV, movies. You're a voracious reader.
I am going through this really intense fantasy book series called The Wheel of Time, and I'm on the final book of that.
For 2 seconds, I thought he was going to say, like, Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Right.
I'm reading a children's book right now, so no judgment.
I'm reading Where's Waldo, and man, I cannot find him.
Man, it's been a year. Yeah. Still searching.
Uh-huh. So Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have an interesting background.
Yeah, so I own a business. I refinish and repair furniture.
Amazing.
I got a BFA in woodworking.
From where?
IKEA.
Yes.
I had no idea they did
MFAs. He's
going to
stab me one
day. Yeah.
My running joke is like, he's going to hire me and I'm going to steal his clients and just take him to IKEA and be like, oh my gosh.
If you could find your way through IKEA, then go ahead.
I know, right? Yeah, my first class was called Hafrschaffengang. It was plates.
Swedish meatballs.
Yeah,
on it.
Exactly.
Tasty.
It was out at the Oregon College of Art and Craft out in Portland.
Oh.
So yeah.
In my home state. Yeah, love the Portland area.
And then you're also a DJ.
I'm also a DJ. My moniker is Not That Jennifer.
I love that.
Because my DJ name was going to be Jennifer Connelly.
We love Jennifer Connelly.
Specifically from the look she gives in Little Children when she realizes that her husband and Kate Winslet are sleeping together.
I couldn't be more in love with you right now. This is just...
But a friend of mine was like, "Oh, it's a little passe to be like, you know, name yourself after a woman as a man." And so, but then later he was like, "So what Jennifer Connelly, like Requiem for a Dream?" I was like, "Not that Jennifer."
Not that Jennifer.
That's where it came from.
That's amazing. I like that. That's a great origin. That's a good one. That's fantastic. And you have a great podcasting voice.
Oh,
it's coming through real nice.
He does. Here. That's why I was like, maybe he should just replace me because I know I have a horrible one.
Well, so Colin doesn't listen to our episodes. I could listen to myself 24/7.
Yeah.
Colin will not listen to these episodes. Has never once listened.
Never. I don't know.
I don't think I can either, to be honest.
Oh, you have a very nice voice.
You do.
Thank you.
Very nice voice.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, are you ready?
Colin has 4 pages.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited.
That's why we're doing a two-parter.
I'm so excited.
This is a big deal.
I'm so hyped.
You are in the captain's chair.
So let's set the stage first.
Remember, you need to talk into the microphone. So
oh, yes. Thank you. Let's set the stage. First and foremost, I have not talked to Erin about this movie, Josh.
Okay.
So I do not know what her opinion is.
We have a rule about this.
Yes.
So we don't talk about it beforehand. Movie.
Yes. And especially this one. So I know exactly where we stand.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to see if it's going to be like 2 against 1, if I'm going to get gangbanged. Or if we're going to
hate that you just said gangbanged.
Or we're going to be like, shoot you down.
Grandma is listening,
Oh,
Colin.
Sorry, Danny. So let's start with just the basics.
Great.
This movie was released this year, as we know. It was directed by Kate Shortland, who is like an indie director, hasn't done any like large Hollywood films, done any really small ones.
Give me an indie movie that she's done.
So she's done Somersault. Berlin Syndrome, and then what she's most famous for and what she got the job for was Lore, which was this like World War II kind of like concentration camp trying to escape Nazi Germany.
Sure, sure.
Very interesting, did really well. Have any of you seen her work before?
I have not seen her work
before. I've watched the trailers for her movies. Trailers are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh,
great. She's awesome. And you could see there were definitely moments where you could definitely see or why she was hired for this movie.
Okay.
Screenplay, interesting enough, was originally wrote by Jack Schaefer. And she, I believe, wrote Frozen. Interesting enough.
Okay.
Oh, because Frozen was written by a husband-wife
couple. The music.
Or maybe just the music.
I think the music. Or something, but she was a part of Frozen.
Oh, very cool. Okay,
Love and then
Frozen.
She was replaced by Ned Benson.
Okay.
Who was then ultimately replaced by Eric Pearson.
So we went through some people.
Yes. So there's a lot of transition when it comes to like the screenplay. And then this was produced by, of course, Kevin Feige.
Marvel King.
Marvel King.
Margo.
And then ScarJo. She's also executive
That's
producer
right.
on this
She
movie.
Sure did.
Which explains why she's a little upset when we get to the end of it.
I was wondering if we were going to talk about that.
So this movie is starring Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know who this woman is and the movie she starred in.
And Aaron's thoughts.
And both
Listen
of our
to
thoughts.
Literally any episode we've
both
ever done.
Both of our thoughts. How do you feel about ScarJo?
See, I love Scarlett Johansson.
Why do you like Scarlett Johansson?
It's beyond like. It's actually like I'm a fan.
Okay.
I know. He stands.
Particularly, like, I mean, I think Ghost World was like one of those, I saw it right out of high school, or maybe I was still in high school, and that one kind of had an impact on me. And I just loved how sort of, see, people think she's monotone, but I like that characteristic in her because there's like some variety in it. And then I thought, you know, Lost in Translation was gorgeous.
That was a beautiful movie.
But then she like stole me away in Under the Skin. Which is this movie that came out, I think, gosh, it must have been like 2012, 2013. But she plays an alien. I don't know. It's a crazy movie. She's like seducing and harvesting men for their meat in Scotland.
I mean, I like that plot line
that sounds really
very
good.
Much.
And just the way that they filmed it was interesting because like, I think there's only one other actor or maybe two other actors in the film. And so she's seducing real people and they have these like car rides together. And then eventually they're like, you're in a movie.
Oh, Oh, we're gonna watch.
Oh, we're
that.
Gonna.
So you get to see some of her acting chops. Okay. Like she takes some risks, which I think, you know.
I respect that.
Because the question I ask most straight men is she a good actress or is she hot?
Fair question.
And I get a lot of, yeah, she's hot. So
I can see that.
I don't, that's not all her fault.
No.
She
what
has
could
been
she do about
extremely
it?
Sexualized though.
Right. Yes.
So I'm not saying that all the blame is on her.
Right. No.
But I love that you address the monotone portion because that's what
Achilles
just
heel.
Kills
yeah. me. So then we had Florence Pugh, who was her introduction into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Girl.
And she was, I first saw her in, I've probably seen her, I think I first saw her in Midsommar and I fell in love with her. I thought she was amazing in that. But I haven't seen Little Women yet.
She's a great Amy.
Yeah.
I think she's a really great Amy.
And I haven't seen, there was another movie that.
She's doing a new one too. They're filming currently. I just saw that on Instagram.
Nice. What have you seen her in that you really enjoyed?
I saw Midsommar, and I actually I didn't like her in it.
Oh, you didn't?
Do tell. Did.
She was so good.
I thought she was amateur, but I don't know. I
interesting. She is young. She's young.
She's very young.
She's in her early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes off very young, and she comes off very kind of terrified, like in the whole movie she's just scared, but like more than like scary shit's happening in the movie, she just seems like scared in general.
Scared.
Yes,
which I really enjoyed.
I thought like the obviously like the very ending, it was just kind of, I don't know,
you can ruin it. I'm never gonna watch it.
Oh no. Yeah. We're doing that movie. No shh, we're doing that movie.
I thought I wasn't allowed to watch it.
It's so violent. Oh,
yeah. You told
it's
me
so
I wasn't
violent.
Allowed to.
Oh yeah, you don't like gore.
No,
it's so gory.
It's so violent.
It's
and it's
not
just
for me.
Frightening.
It's so frightening. I love it.
But actually, seeing her in Black Widow, it's just like, oh, yeah. it recontextualizes. Yeah. I think what I thought about her.
Yeah. We have David Harbour, who I've seen in Stranger Things,
The sheriff.
The sheriff in Stranger Things, and he plays Alexi. Florence Pugh plays
Elena?
God, Idahoans, we don't know how to speak.
I think it's Elena.
Elena, and then ScarJo, of course, plays Nat. Rachel Weisz, who we love
we
from
love
The
her.
Favorite.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Rachel?
Love her. Yep,
she's incredible.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
She plays
Milena.
Milena. Mm-hmm. I don't know Russian names. Olga, I'm not going to even try her last name. Plays Taskmaster. She seems like she plays a lot more foreign Eastern European
films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Ray Winstone, who plays General Dreykov, and he plays the big bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of the background, because I think it's really smart to kind of contextualize where this movie fits in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And everybody knows, I love the MCU. And so doing this like breakdown, it was really exciting because I got to like look at like her trajectory from the beginning. So history wise, if we look at it, she's trained as Black Widow in the KGB in the Red Room Academy, which was disguised as a ballet academy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1995, and this will really help you kind of all the listeners understand like the flow of the movie, 1995. She's a young girl. Her and her family escaped to Ohio to infiltrate and steal intel from SHIELD, which is like the intelligence agency in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Family escapes to Cuba once they succeed their mission, and then the girls are put back into the Red Room. And the Red Room is like that training facility, it's a secret Russian training.
And they're not related. It's just,
it's
kind of like a witness, or not witness protection, but like, you know, real, you know, they're
spy
not
spy families.
Yeah, exactly.
Are just like
they're not related, but
spy operatives that they're just put together, but they're called a family.
Right.
Clint Barton, who is Hawkeye, is sent to kill Natasha, but instead, and I believe this is what this whole Budapest scene is about.
Yes.
It's like their fight. But instead, he recruits her to SHIELD. She kind of...
Oh, I just had an epiphany.
What?
In the Marvel films, because, you know, just to give you some context, Josh, I recently watched all the Marvel films, the Disney Plus order. My fiance and I, he was like, we need to start from, like, the beginning. The whole thing about, like, red in my ledger.
Yeah.
Is that Budapest?
No, that's just all her kills that she's made.
But I just mean like between her and Clint. Like,
no, that's all the kills she made while she was a part of the Black Widow.
I see. Okay. So, never mind. That was not an epiphany.
Yeah.
Continue.
Which ties into the fact that she turns in Dreykov.
Right.
And that's kind of clearing her ledger by killing the man who forced her to do all these things.
Right.
And then he also kills his daughter, Atonia, at the same time. So then she first appears in her first Marvel movie in Iron Man 2. And I didn't realize this or forgot this. Tony Stark's assistant. She was Tony Stark's new assistant. And he like makes the most sexist comment is like, I want one of her. So like that.
Yeah, he's a pig.
He's a pig. And that's like the context. Like, you know, she starts off as like undercover, part of S.H.I.E.L.D., very sexualized, very sexy. But she is that femme fatale, you know, the ability to like kill a man with her thighs. Interesting factoid, the role was not originally offered to Scarlett Johansson. Who was it offered to? I think you'll be gagged. It's a big actress.
Am I shocked?
I was a little like, oh. As long as it's a bad actress, it's just not
okay,
something.
Okay, so if that's the case, it's not J-Law.
No.
Because you don't like her.
No, I was just like,
Is it of the same age?
She might be, a little bit older. Maybe
Natalie Portman.
Nope.
But we're A-list.
She is an A-list. I would consider an A-list celebrity actress.
Anne Hathaway.
No.
I thought that as well. Emily Blunt.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, yeah. I did hear that. Ding, ding. She said that in an interview recently.
She couldn't commit because of Gulliver's Travels.
What a oops.
Yeah, wrong choice. From there,
but she probably...
You think she made the right choice?
I would have liked to see Emily Blunt.
I would have liked to see her.
Right?
I would have liked to see her.
She would have been a great Black Widow. Yeah.
She would have.
Yeah.
She has a realness about her.
Yes.
That is... Oh, I would have... Damn it, Emily.
Yeah. I know. I think she would have had that look of the killer.
Rumors are she will be in the MCU here shortly. So
don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Don't
worry
it.
Too much.
Everyone. eventually.
Who? Yeah.
Us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We will.
Next year.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I am the new Black Panther. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
If I'm not made into an X-Men, I will lose my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not the older Rogue.
She then appears in a couple Marvel or Avenger films. She releases information from Hydra that was secretly in S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And then she goes in hiding during Winter Soldier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, Civil War happens. She plays a really big pivotal role in that. Right. Those movies. She decides not to sign the Sokovia Accords.
Right.
And she has to go in hiding. And this is where this film fits in. So this is not a prequel, I wouldn't consider.
Right.
It's more like a vignette of a period of time. Mm-hmm. Infinity War, she frees. After this film takes place, we go into Infinity War. She frees the Avengers who are on the raft. So they're in high maximum security. So that's like Sam Wilson, Wanda Maximoff, Clint Barton. Mm-hmm. And then the snap happens and everyone disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Endgame, where she ultimately sacrifices herself for the Soul Stone in a fight with Clint Barton.
Right.
And that is the end of
Black Widow.
So this film goes, so if we're like, I'm just like looking at my Disney Plus timeline in my head, like right after
Civil War. Right between, and then before Infinity War.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
So this is where this film kind of sits.
Okay.
So ultimately this film is really about her reconnecting with her lost family. Mm-hmm. Her kind of truly making up for the wrongs that she did. We come to find out that General Dreykov is not dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's still actively alive and still has the Black Widow Red Room Academy still going. Mm-hmm. He has a new mind controlling drug that these women cannot do anything. Like, he can push a button, all of a sudden they're going to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. They have no autonomy.
Right.
And so the whole goal is to get the gang back together, destroy the Red Room, and, really forgive herself and find her purpose.
Right.
So that's kind of the movie.
Okay.
So from here, I kind of really want to dissect, unless anyone has any commentary so far. I would love to start going through the actresses and looking at their portrayal and get your
opinion. Are we addressing the score at all in this film?
Oh, no.
Because if
you
not,
talk about it real quick?
Yes, I would. Because the opening credits, it's a cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Did you like it?
I had an orgasm. I loved it.
God, that was the
worst. I love Nirvana.
Amazing.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Shut the fuck up.
I also did not like it.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
But also, it was like the font choice was so bizarre.
Through the whole movie or just that section?
That section felt like it was like a TV episode.
But
yes, that's what we thought. We thought it was like an episode of like Alias or something.
I'm not saying that maybe that song was the best place for... I'm saying that that cover and that voice, I loved it.
It made
Are you a Nirvana fan?
No, I don't get it. It gave me like early 2000 TV show like...
Well, I just don't like that trend. I mean, it's like it's literally everywhere at this point.
That's
where it's
true.
Just like, let's do a cover of a notable song, and it's supposed to make you feel some way, and it's just like it always is like, I wish you would just do original music.
Yeah, it was bad. And then you layer that on top of like...
I thought it was a beautiful cover.
It was a gorgeous cover.
I didn't like it. You layer on the sequence of like this, like, you know what I mean, like this gray, black and white, sketchy kind of like, yeah,
blur. It's like blurry.
Yeah, and you see these girls all eating at the same time, and it was just like, what is this? This is so... It was a bad, and most Marvel movies, they don't have that kind of
right.
So it was like bizarre that they did that.
It wasn't consistent with the others.
Yeah, which is
gotcha.
We can talk more about the movie.
I would like download that cover to a Spotify playlist.
Do it
is what I'm saying.
Do not do it while I'm in the car. I do not want to hear that.
Oh my God.
I do not.
Wow.
To go through, let's talk about the women.
Let's do it, ScarJo. Let's hit it off right now. Okay. What was your opinion about her performance in this film?
It's hard because it's like, it's not like it's anyone else because it's her. Like, she's Black Widow. So it's not like the expectation of how the performance should be is different than I'm just watching a film with an actress in it, because we've seen ScarJo for how long being Black Widow, right? So there's already a certain bar expectation in your head of like what I'm going to see. And does this film, is that consistent with the other films? You know, I don't think it was anything special. I thought it was normal. I thought it was just like the other films. I didn't think because this movie focused on her specifically made it heightened in any way. Mm-hmm. I don't think she did a bad job, but I think it was just
consistent.
Consistent. So, yeah. It was
I think it was consistent, but in the sense of like, I don't think her performance was consistent. I was disappointed that there wasn't more. Now that, like you said, that might not be her fault. That could have been the screenplay. That could have been direction.
Right.
But I did leave it going like, well, here's a whole movie dedicated to this character. And I didn't feel like I came out of it knowing anything more about her.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
I mean, at least I remember when I was watching kind of the jump between Civil War and Avengers Infinity Wars. There was some, you know, like her hair was blonde. She was kind of in a different place in life. Mm-hmm. And so part of that was like, well, I did think that this job did a good job. I think she did a good job delivering that emotional range for how she got from like the end of Civil War to the beginning of Infinity Wars. But I
don't know. I actually thought she, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I thought she was like good in Endgame. Like,
yes.
I thought she was actually good in Endgame. And it was just this, I wish there was more. I can't remember. I don't remember her so much in Infinity War. I remember her more in Endgame. And I was like, I wish there was that line that you're talking about. I wish I could see that. Sure. I don't really see it as much.
But to me, it's not only consistent with her performances in other Marvel films. It's consistent with every film I've seen her in. And I'm just, and to be fair, I've seen her mainstream work.
Sure.
I have not seen her indie work. Oh, we get into it, Josh. He's over there like, I disagree. Say so.
My eyes.
Yeah, you're like twitching over there. No, I'm kidding. But it was consistent.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. You know, I always left, like I said, like I was left with this question, like, who is Nat? Like, who is this person? What is her story? And I felt like they tried to tell, but at the end, I still didn't know who she was as a person. Like emotionally, I felt like Endgame did a better job at showing her emotional range.
I agree.
This movie did.
Okay.
By far, Endgame way more emotional range.
Okay.
Than this movie did, and that's disappointing because like this is a 2-hour movie, just dedicated to you.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm gonna say this, and I think you both will agree: the star of this movie, Florence Pugh.
Yes.
Yes.
Incredible job.
She is amazing. She did so good.
Yeah. And it shows to me that even though, there could have been issues with the script and the direction, it does show to me, like, maybe maybe she's not that great of an actress. Because here's someone with an even smaller part.
Right.
And had less, you know what I mean, maybe more of comic relief, but still had that raw, gritty edge, and she still did a better job.
I think that that might be the problem with the script, though, because it's like she was able to kind of be the heart of the movie and sometimes the lightest character and kind of like walk in between that, where it's like Natasha was just steady. She was like supposed to be like this consistent thing, and it was kind of a bummer because I think there could have been a lot more fun there.
Yeah.
Right, she's just so sulky, and it's just like, let her do something, like let her have another emotion besides that.
Right.
Because Florence Pugh, they've gone through the same thing, they've had the same traumatic experiences, they're sisters in this spy family, and you got to see so much more range with her character, and she's tough, and she's kind of funny, and she's just like,
damaged, and she had the same amount of trauma to a certain degree, probably even more though, because she lost autonomy at a certain point.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so there was so much more pain. Like, I remember the scene where the scene that you kind of are introduced to Florence Pugh, spoiler alert, she's like chasing after another one of her ex Black Widow sisters.
Yeah.
She's going to go kill her, and she does kill her. And then the sister, right before she dies, her Black Widow sister like releases the serum to kind of help her like regain her autonomy. And you could just see every single emotion flash in the woman's face in like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was just, I was like, holy shit, that's acting.
Mm-hmm. And it's that serum that like gets them out of that cloud of like being a killing machine.
Yeah. And you could just see her go from like pure rage of like, yes, I'm going to kill you. Or like, I would say more like emptiness. And then like every single emotion that she's felt over the last.
Well, because they're just robots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you could just see it. And it was just, and then she breaks down in tears, and it was just beautiful.
She's
and
beautiful.
I was like, felt like Nat needed those moments. And, you know what I mean? And typically when she is sad, it's much more quieter. It's much more like controlled. But like, I wanted to see a moment where she was like she could let go a little bit.
Yeah.
And Florence Pugh, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. She has this gorgeous blonde hair. She has this cute little button nose. But she is a solid person.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this woman, like, ScarJo, she's got maybe a bigger butt and like some thighs. But Florence Pugh is like a sturdy, short, like those thighs don't quit. And it was just so nice to see. It wasn't. I remember thinking, like, if they have this like waif of a woman when it's like all they do is train, there's no way you're thin. I mean, you're solid.
You were, right.
And so I loved seeing that because she was no joke.
Yeah.
She was a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about Rachel Weisz.
I love that you always do that.
I thought she did another decent job. Character wasn't fleshed out enough. I don't think that one really wasn't her fault. You know, I felt like the character needed more depth for sure. And the one thing that I noticed that really kind of made me upset, and then again, this is not against her, and I think she was trying to play into this, I don't think she was successful, was the fact that she was able to do all these heinous things, literally create a serum that caused her daughter to lose her autonomy, and then she was all forgiven a part of the team.
Right.
And that plot hole was just so upsetting. And when we look at like the entire film, you know, you really don't have a villain in this movie. You do, but because that villain has to be hidden, you have to have like a sub villain, so the Taskmaster.
Sure.
Because Dreykov is supposed to be dead, he's hiding in this big cloud city. Weird. Mm-hmm. And so you have Taskmaster to like act as that proxy.
Right.
And I was like, but like, it's. Taskmaster wasn't that great of a villain. It's just like fighting scenes. And so I was like, wouldn't it be more interesting that Rachel Weisz was kind of the true villain in this movie? And that you have this mother-daughter interaction of like, you destroyed my life, but I still have to figure out a way to love you.
Right.
Or
right.
a mother trying to figure out how to get her daughters back into her life.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the bummer with Taskmaster, because it was just like, their superpowers that they're a copy of other people.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not original. That's, you know, just kind of.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've said this before, and to fill you in too, Josh, like when we've been talking about Black Widow and I was telling Colin the cast list, it's like, why do they get these big name, wonderful actresses mm-hmm. and put them in a small role yes. where you know they can't really go all the way? Mm-hmm. And that's what they did with her. Mm-hmm. It's like you have this person that's been in so many amazing films and it right. is a grade A actress. And it's just, it was too narrow for her.
Completely agree.
Right?
Well, and that's kind of the weird part yeah. with even, I think, this type of indie director who clearly right. does emotional films to kind of mm-hmm. be, you know, restrained to be like, you have to deal with, you know, this huge cast. Because I think, like, ultimately, I felt like the dad was actually a throwaway character. I think.
Comic relief.
Yeah.
Sure.
But just not, you know, if they're, the core themes of the movie just kept getting confused because it was just like, is this about family? Is this about women? Is this about, you know, right. there was just a lot of things that I think kind of, right. I think clearly kind of came through as like, this is the story that they're trying to tell.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed.
One controversy that came out of this film that involves one of the actresses is Taskmaster. So in the comic books, Taskmaster is a male character and they had a gender swap and a lot of people were upset about this. I can't remember the character's name. I think I know the answer, but what did you feel about Taskmaster as a villain?
I'm not familiar with the comic book character, but a villain in the movie. See, that's kind of the weird thing is that they do that in a lot of women-led action movies where it's just like, we need to pit a woman against a woman. And that's something that's always interesting to me. I don't know if it's like sort of like this mindset of like, well, like they need to be equal. I don't know. It's always a weird one for me where it's just like, I don't know if that was necessary or maybe we just really don't want to see a guy beating up a girl on screen.
Right.
Which right. I do understand that. Like I don't particularly want to see that necessarily, but yeah, so I don't know if some of that gender reveal is like, or gender change is based off of just like audience comfortability with what they're willing to see on camera.
Right.
Right.
I think too, I mean, you know, with the swap with Captain Marvel, I know that like made people just lose their minds. I think like too, that people should probably expect that to continue to happen,
mm-hmm. right.
that gender swapping. I feel like it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it's like the only way you can get like, there's a million comic book characters in right. Marvel. So like you can't always use that same character in that same way that's in the comic book. Sometimes sure. you have to like switch it up a
yeah,
little bit just
course.
To drive the narrative.
Well, right. it's a different universe and that's something that yeah. comic books should, nerds should know, you know? It's
yes.
just like, right. it's not
the pure like,
it's not based off of
Earth 6-1 whatever. This is,
right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Totally different. Yeah. I want to talk about the director though, because there's some interesting things going on in this one. So she originally turned down this project.
Okay.
I think like twice.
Hmm.
And ScarJo is the reason why she took the movie. They had a Zoom meeting and she saw Lore and she's like, I love the way that you direct. I think you're incredible. I demand that you be in this film.
Wow.
Mm. And she was actually the director. Kate was the reason why Florence Pugh was in this movie, because they, before the script was written and before everything was starting, they're asking you like, who would you want to work with? Of course you got Scarlett Johansson. And she was like, I've saw Florence Pugh. I want her on here. They did a meeting. She's like,
who wouldn't?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So the autonomy that they gave, I keep on using that word, but the power that they gave her yeah. to just kind of choose and pick. I think it made the greatest parts of the movies, I think, is because they gave this woman so much freedom.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and I don't think, like, if you're, you know, and it's funny, Colin, you and I have talked about this, but it's just like with Marvel movies, it's, you know, you're kind of judging them against themselves because it's a genre right. of comic books.
Right,
and
right.
so it's like, okay, so is this film, is this cinema, you know, or is this just entertainment? So I don't know if it's like, I guess, you know, a question that I'm asking myself is like, is it sexist of me to be like, well, are we just, am I categorizing this? Am I judging it based off of other like women hero movies, like Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman? And, you know, is that supposed to be the base? Because in terms of that, this one I think had the best action out of like any of the like female led superhero movies.
So you're saying, okay, am I thinking of this as comparing it to those women dread film women-led films, or are we just comparing this to any other Marvel film regardless?
Not any other Marvel film. Just like, you know, the action was better in this than I think it was in Wonder Woman. I think the action was better than this than...
Well, certainly the second one, because we are not fans. We are not fans, Josh. Right.
I don't know how I feel about that. And see, the other part I have with that is, like, I did not watch this movie as, like... I would compare this movie to, like, a Bourne Identity. Like, yeah. This is, to me, is...
My favorite movie.
This...
Oh, yeah, I heard you liking Matt Damon, which is wrong.
Join us next week when Josh joins us once again to talk about the Matt Damon
He's just like for like 5 minutes to talk about Matt Damon.
I'm just being defensive because I like his movies so much. No, he probably fucked up.
This is a spy thriller movie. This is espionage movie.
That makes
a
lot of sense.
This is Atomic Blonde. This is not, you know what I mean? Like, so that's what I'm comparing this film into.
That makes more sense, actually.
You know, it's for me. And that's especially like, I watched this YouTube video about like how this movie failed as a Bourne Identity kind of genre film. Mm-hmm. This, you know, not domestic, world traveling kind of like shoot 'em up. And it did fail in a lot of sense because it had a lot of overlap. There were scenes you could watch like side by side that looked identical. They were like
in the apartment.
Yeah, the apartment. There was like hand-to-hand combat, you know what I mean?
Lots of
that. It was very similar. And in that sense, you can't really compare it to anything. And maybe Captain America Winter Soldier is probably your closest comparison to this movie.
Right.
Which, you know, is the foundation for MCU fight sequences, I would feel like.
Right.
It's your first kind of combat kind of, you know, Iron Man, it was a lot of like flying.
Yeah, and like very distant stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this one's like in your face, close to close.
Very intense,
And so to that sense, you can't call it a fail or a success because so much of this movie is about, it's a formula. Like it follows the formula of Captain America, which follows the formula of Bourne Identity.
Right.
And so that you, to call it a failure, it's like, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Like the third act, like all Marvel movies and rewatching, like the third act is the same now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's these big fight sequences.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what director you're in. And no, literally, it doesn't matter the director. They have a team who just choreographs the whole thing, and it doesn't, before the director's even there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's already choreographed, like that big, large fight scene, because it's mostly CGI.
Right.
And so when the director comes in, they're really creating the first half of the movie, because always at the end, you're going to have this giant fight scene.
That's interesting.
That's true, yeah.
So the other hard part I had about this movie, I want to ask you, is like the tone. Mm-hmm. For me... Because the next part is theme. This had the potential to be very dark. And I think they tried to do everything not to do that. And now here's a quote from the director. She said, "I want to make a fairground ride, but I wanted to have a lot of heart." Meaning like she wanted people to be having fun, uplifting, upbeat, even though they were talking about some of the darkest films or darkest themes ever mentioned in a Marvel movie.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like pick one because here's the thing.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. When you're talking about women, like literally like their ovaries being taken out. So they don't even mention like, so they can't even think about childhood as a distraction, or literally taking that bodily autonomy away from somebody and then doing everything you can to make it light. That just completely diminishes the point of what you're trying to do. Yes. So pick one. And I get, okay, we're afraid to just go all pick one. That's my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. What do you think?
I completely agree. I think that, you know, it, like I liked I agree.
Oh my. Yeah. He's scared. He's like, "Oh my god."
It was funny. It's like I wanted them to pick one, but I also liked some of the acting in it was really good. Florence Pugh did such a good job, kind of.
Her sarcasm.
Well, and just the conversation that they had, you know, "Hey, did you ever think of having kids?" And then how it's like, you know, 10 minutes later, you find out the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though they're both having this conversation, they both know the truth.
Right. Oh, that was a good scene.
I thought that, like, was, you know, where she talks about the heart aspect. Mm-hmm. But the ride part, I mean, I think what was interesting, and we kind of talked about this after we first watched it. I know that you were saying like you wanted it to be grittier, but for me, like Scarlett Johansson got like the shit beat out of her throughout the entire movie.
She did, but she wasn't even bleeding though half the movie.
What? There she had those so scars.
I thought she should have been dead.
Well, she should have been dead, but it was just like it was brutal.
So many scenes where I was like, this woman needs to be dead.
Make her look not pretty for one scene. That's one true. Scene.
Well, that's people. True. That was we're gonna take a break.
Okay.
This was the first episode.
This is the part one.
Part one.
Of the Black Widow episode.
Pay attention for part two.
Join us next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to Let's Hear It for the Girls. It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoyed learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening. Thank you.